The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 4th through Sunday, August 10th, 2025. The commentary for August was written by Jessica Andrus Lindstrom, a retired teacher, college counselor, educational writer, and a head of a school. She worships at both Holy Trinity in Manistee, Michigan, and Bruton Parish in Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. The commentary for Monday, August 4th, begins as follows with a passage from 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 6. I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt. I have been moving about in a tent. I love the passage in 2 Samuel when David discovers that his dreams of building a temple for God are not what God has in mind. Instead of a static house enshrining the Ark of the Covenant, God chooses the movable tent, a symbol of elasticity and flexibility. God wants to be with the Israelites wherever they go. In 2008, my family sailed for a year on the Atlantic Ocean. As transients, we quickly learned that we were not in control, with our plans often redirected by changes in wind and weather and by the unexpected. A submarine surfacing in front of us, a pod of whales moving under our hull. One night, lightning illuminated the skies as we sailed in the dark across the Gulf Stream, trying to stay ahead of an approaching storm. My children were thrilled. I was petrified. Before setting off for the unknown, we began each morning in prayer, asking God to watch over us and keep us safe. We did not have an ark on board, but we knew who was really steering our ship. And now I'm going to read this full passage from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 4th, is, does God move about in your tent with you? The commentary for Tuesday, August 5th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. I've imagined myself standing in the circle with those first disciples, watching Jesus perform miracles, stand up to authority, and demonstrate love and compassion for marginalized people. When asked, like Peter, I answer, "You are the Messiah." Then Jesus speaks of suffering, rejection, death, and resurrection, things I cannot fully comprehend. In addition, as Mark tells us in verse 30, Jesus instructs his disciples not to tell anyone about him. Is it a trick or a test? When told not to tell, the human urge to tell becomes almost uncontrollable. It seems each time Jesus charges his disciples not to announce his arrival somewhere, or not to speak of what he has spoken, the news of his actions and preaching travels fast. As one in the circle, would I have disobeyed and spread the word? Most likely. Did Jesus fully understand this human frailty and assume his disciples would relate all he taught? I suspect he did. In the end, it was part of God's profound plan. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today. This is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 through 33. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, August 5th, how do you proclaim the gospel? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, August 6th, the day on which we commemorate the Transfiguration. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 29. "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white." Transfigurations proliferate in the readings for today. Moses comes down from the mountain with a shining face. Peter hears God's voice proclaiming Jesus to be his beloved Son. Peter, John, and James see Jesus' garments and face change with luminous brilliance. My mother's face and demeanor changed dramatically before she died. Was it divine transfiguration? I do not know, but she had been irritable when she entered the hospital a week before. She called nurses and doctors incompetent and demanded attention. Yet something triggered a turning point. She knew before we did that the end was near, and that's when the transformation occurred. Her face relaxed. Her eyes shone. She became patient and polite with doctors and nurses. She cracked jokes and told stories that made us laugh and cry. She held my father's hand, waved to me and my siblings, and breathed her last. When she left this world at peace and expectant of a better world to come, she was truly beautiful. And now I'll read the passage from Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. "Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, 'This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, have you ever experienced a divine transfiguration? Did it change your life? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, August 7th, the day on which we commemorate John Mason Neal, the author. It begins with a passage from Psalm 86, verse 11a. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth." Often teachers in the ancient church died as martyrs. One was purported to be a 10th century duke, immortalized in John Mason Neal's Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslas. As a priest, classic scholar, and prolific translator of ancient texts, Neal was a teacher, too. In the Carol, Neal recounts the story of a wealthy king who teaches his page about sacrifice and Christian charity. Wenceslaus instructs the page to gather food, drink, and fuel for a poor man struggling in the bitter cold. Together, the king and his servant follow the man to his hut in the forest. They present their gifts to the family inside and stay to dine and revel in the Christmas season with them. The carol's final line summarizes the teaching moment. Ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. I come from a long line of teachers and believe the career to have been my calling. I sought to teach students the way to knowledge that leads them to truth. But teachers are not the only ones who teach. A carpenter from Nazareth taught us that. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Psalm 86. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. And the moving forward question for this day is, when have you felt called to teach others about charity? Now the commentary for Friday, August 8th, the day on which we commemorate Dominic. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, 23. Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." I suspect many of us can relate to the father who ends his plea for his son's healing by saying to Jesus, "If you are able." Jesus' repetition of the man's words, complete with an exclamation mark, seems spoken with love. Of course, Jesus is able. God can do anything and everything for those who believe, for those who take to heart what is written in Psalm 91, verse 2, "You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust." Before email or online recruitment resources existed, I worked in a school where I oversaw the hiring of foreign language teachers. Once, the day before Christmas break, I learned that a teacher was not returning in January. I panicked and uttered an "if you are able to help me" prayer. After a few sleepless nights, I finally move past the if and ask God to provide, believing God would. I felt at peace. The day before school started, an individual who had heard of my need called and was the answer to my prayer. And now I'm going to read the gospel for this day from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." And the moving forward question for this Friday, August 8th, when have you moved past the if point and believe that with God anything is possible? Now the commentary for Saturday, August 9th, the day on which we commemorate Edith Stein. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 37b. "Whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Before converting to Christianity and becoming a Carmelite nun, Edith Stein was a nurse, teacher, and philosopher. At a monastery in the Netherlands, she was exposed as a former Jew, deported by the Gestapo to Auschwitz and killed in the gas chambers. I can only assume her faith gave her the strength to face her death as she bore the name of Christ and knew a heavenly reward awaited her. Yet it is difficult to reconcile her conversion and faith to such evil. In the gospel reading for today, the disciples see a stranger exercising evil in Jesus' name and try to stop him. Jesus affirms the action, saying that the man is not against us, but for us. The disciples hear Jesus describe his own death and resurrection and are afraid to ask him what he means because they don't understand. Perhaps they can't accept Jesus' death or talk about their own. Yet Christ teaches us that faith and belief in God transcend mortality and the unknown. For those who have faith and believe in the resurrection, facing deportation and death, whether in a gas chamber or on a cross, is not the final word. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 41. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." And the moving forward question for today, how does belief in the resurrection direct your life? Now as we reach the end of our program, let's turn to Sunday, August 10th, the ninth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with Psalm 33, verse 13, "The Lord looks down from heaven and beholds all the people in the world." When I imagine God looking down from heaven upon all people, I see a tapestry of varied colored shapes. I hear sounds of instruments with wide-ranging pitches and resonance, an inclusive family of diverse humans with hearts fashioned and works understood by their Maker. From the beginning, there's no preconceived perfect follower of God in ethnicity or status. God is the Creator. God loves all. Yet this earthly family is, by its very diverse nature, teeming with tension and division, often incapable of reciprocal love. Each of our families is most likely a tapestry in miniature. Mine includes members of the LGBTQ community, Jews and Gentiles, an indigenous sister-in-law, and a brother-in-law from Ecuador who became a U.S. naturalized citizen not that long ago. What makes love possible during periods of familial strife is remembering that by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. The suggestion from Moving Forward for this day, reflect on the tapestry of your family. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Goodbye until next time.